Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The Sugar Bowl is underway in New Orleans, a day after the deadly truck attack on Bourbon Street. The game was preceded by a moment of silence for the victims. Last hour, President Biden provided an update on the investigation into the attack. CBS's Linda Kenyon has details.
The president says this much is clear about the attack in New Orleans.
No information. We have no information that anyone else was involved in the attack.
That attack killed 15 people, including the driver of the car that rammed into pedestrians. In addition, Biden says there is no indication of any connection between that attack and the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas that killed the driver.
CBS's Katie Weiss has more.
Investigators called the actions of Shamsuddin Jabbar an act of terror, saying the U.S. citizen and Army veteran proclaimed his support for ISIS in several videos he posted shortly before the attack.
The FBI says Jabbar had planted two improvised explosive devices on Bourbon Street and had remote detonators for them. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallen.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Colder temperatures have arrived and look to stay for a while. Be sure you cover all exposed skin and limit your time outdoors. Brittany Merlot has more tips on how to avoid frostbite.
Frostbite symptoms can include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. And frostbite may lead to permanent, irreversible tissue damage. A way to prevent it is to limit your time outdoors and warm your body up often if you're exposed to freezing temperatures. And if you believe that you have frostbite, go inside or seek shelter from the cold. Then, call your healthcare provider or visit the emergency room immediately to reduce your risk of tissue damage. Frostbite symptoms appear in three stages that include feeling cold, sore, and painful, which is frost nip. Then, pins and needles, which is surface frostbite. And the last, numbness, indicates a deep frostbite.
Believe it or not, the deadline to file to run for office in the next election is coming up soon. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Are you interested in running for school board or any local nonpartisan office this spring? Now is the time to get your paperwork in. Dan Rossmiller of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards explains what you'll need to file before January 7th.
They'll have to provide their name and address and swear that they're a candidate for office. And at the time that they complete that document, they're going to meet the applicable age, citizenship, residency, and voting qualifications and requirements. They'll also have to file a campaign finance registration statement. In some school districts, nomination papers are required. Those have to be circulated and filed with the other papers, and that deadline is the first Tuesday in January, which in 2025 falls on January 7th.
If you missed the deadline, you have until noon on March 28th to register as a write-in. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brooklyn Nets are back in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks at Fiserv Forum. The two teams played just a week ago. The Nets won that one, 111-105. The NFL has named three Packers players to the Pro Bowl, safety Xavier McKinney, running back Josh Jacobs, and defensive end Rashawn Gary. Meanwhile, Jair Alexander's season is over. He had to have his right knee scoped Tuesday after weeks of swelling and pain. He suffered a torn PCL back in October against the Jaguars. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
It's unfortunate. It is what it is. I feel for him. Obviously, he was trying to get his knee right. It wasn't getting right. And so, yeah, it's a tough deal for all of us.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
That's tough. Anytime, you're talking about season ending injuries, guys not being able to come back, it's tough. Going to be praying for John and hopefully he can recover. But yeah, it's tough. You know, I feel for the guy, definitely wants to be out there. So it's tough.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue.
made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
More clouds than sunshine today, with a few flurries flying around out there, putting down just a trace. With breezy winds out of the northwest, it's creating wind chills about 10 degrees cooler, with highs today only expected to reach the low 20s. And the entire weekend, with highs in the teens, it'll be feeling more like the single digits. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And today, we are going to be speaking with our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. We have Superintendent Ronald A. Rasmussen in with us. Sir, looking good. How you doing?
Doing great, James. Good afternoon.
This is an audio medium, so I have to share with the audience. You are decked to the fullest. I am envious of that suit, man.
It really looks good, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You pull it off. It looks great. I could not pull that off. You look good in it, though. And you brought some friends in with you, Ron. We have with us today Melanie Kozlowski. Did I say that? Get it right, Melanie? Okay.
Right.
Melanie is an advisor with the program we're about to dive into, and Ava Lang, president of that program. Hi, Ava.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Thanks so much for being here, you two. The program that we're speaking about has an interesting history, and I want to get into that, too. But first, what we're talking about is the Interact Club. And ladies, if you could tell us a little bit more about what this club is and how it developed.
So the club has been around for several years, and it's changed names over the years. It really started out of a student concern that we wanted to address bullying in schools. And from there, the students really took it and ran with it. They saw a need for connecting with one another, for reaching out to our new students, and also the issue of mental health. And so they come up with the ideas, and every year it's something a little different, and that's what keeps us coming back to it. Most recently, we shifted to the name Interact because our local Noon Rotary organization has adopted us, and so they help us with some of our projects, and we help them with some volunteering and go from there. So many hands make light work.
Yeah. Melanie, how did you get involved with the program?
So
I noticed you're not a student.
I am not. I am quite a bit older than the students.
We'll just leave it at that, though.
I'm wiser.
There you go.
Yeah. I came aboard with a counselor who took over the program. Her name was Mary Schultz, and the group was expanding. So Mr. Rasmussen, principal at the time, came to me and said, would you please be willing to help? And so I'm like, sure. And from there, Mary took it on and ran with it. And then once I came on board, I was able to kind of tap some kids on the shoulders, too, that I had in class. And yeah, we just kept going from
cool.
there.
Very cool. And thank you for being involved. Thank you for getting involved in this and doing something like this.
I love doing it.
What does it mean to have the Noon Rotary Club being a part of this and the work that they can do to assist or help with that?
So the Rotary Club, their mission is service above self. And that aligns with our mission as our club.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, January 2nd, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to talk to our good friend, Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension. Looking forward to that. Been looking forward to this all week. We got our great friend, Kevin Krieger, in with us, district chairman of our Scouting America. Kev, good to see you.
Good this morning. And good. Or I should say good afternoon. Yeah. Good to see you.
And you brought in a new friend. We have Sam Hansen with us, district executive of Scouting America. Sam, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I really appreciate the time. And Sam, I'm going to put you right on the spot. I mean, ask you questions. No, I'm kidding. I just with new people, we love to get to know you a little bit, and especially with Scouting America, which we're going to get more into the organization and talk about the great work that's being done with our kids and our community with Scouting America. But to get just to get to right away, Sam, I'd like to get to know you a little bit more. What got you involved in Scouting America and telling us a little bit about your background, a little bit about your origin story and stuff?
Well, what really got me into the Boy Scouts is being involved in it when I was in high school and getting to go on trips through co-ed-led ones. And that's really what led me to follow my passion in the outdoor industry, going to school for conservation and working in county parks. And then moving up here to Wisconsin to go hunting and fishing all the time. That's really what drug me up here. And then finding this position with the Boy Scouts has been amazing. Getting to see the youth involved with our community and the outdoors has been very rewarding.
So from what I'm hearing from you is the main job is the hunting and the fishing, and then this is kind of like, oh, this is cool. No, that's awesome. And I think it's one of the things that certainly brings a lot of people to our state, a lot of people here to enjoy so much of what Wisconsin has to offer more than other states do. It's really unique and to hear. And I was thinking about this over the weekend as I was prepping for this interview and talked to a lot of people, especially people up north, and how we're losing so many people that are interested, whether it's hunting or ATV riding or so many of the activities that we love in this state. We're not getting enough younger people into these things, so hopefully we can keep them around for the next 20 years or anything. I think from what I've been able to find, and I imagine you guys know better than I do, Scouting America has been very helpful with this and getting a lot of younger, along with 4-H and some other organizations, don't want to make light of that, of getting young people, hey, nature's right here for you. Like, nature's just waiting for you, and getting kids out there and seeing how much fun Mother Nature has to offer.
Exactly. I totally agree on that.
Is that something that I don't want to say that is like one of your main goals or anything there, but that does feel like kind of intertwined in Scouting America. Would you say that it is kind of getting kids in and get engaged in these things?
Well, I do. And in with how we are adapting with Scouting America with our program, I mean, this Cub Scout program just did a big change in it, and they're involving more of the outdoors along also with the technology end of it. So, because obviously for kids get a little bit bored, I had two boys, you know, trying to get them into hunting, you know, and sitting there for 12 hours in a tree stand, they kind of get bored. So yeah, they had their technology with them, but getting them out there still and able to use the technology along with being in the outdoors. And then we kind of adapted that with with scouting?
Everything over time has to adapt. They were talking about this in the 20s. They were talking about it in the 30s, in the 40s. I mean, this has always been the case. It's just we've never had technology be so influxed in things and had so many. It only makes sense as we go longer and longer in all of this in life and everything. We're going to have more and more options and more things come up to distract or to pull people away. And just like fashion trends, everything comes back around. I do think that as these things, we may see low numbers right now, thanks to organizations like yours, to the kind of work that our UW4H is doing and stuff. I do think that this stuff comes back around. You're going to see higher numbers at some point, whether it's in the next year or two and in a decade, whatever it might be. But I think that one of the more important things, too, about what Scouting America does is keeping this stuff relevant. Not only is it important to have these organizations around, but time only moves one direction, Sam. And to adapt to the modern times, to adapt to things like Kevin was talking about there, that's not, you know, bending the mission or the message of what you guys do. It's adapting and evolving it. Is that that's just me saying that. Is that what you see it as?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I think one of the best things that come from offering this program to all the youth is that a lot of them are in urban areas and that don't have access within walking distance to a park, a nature reserve. And when we allow our scouts to be joined with these programs, they get access to those areas more readily. And they know that that's a safe space for them to go and enjoy, to go learn how to hunt and fish, but to also learn how to provide for that area with a lot of our service projects that we do. So it's very rewarding for everyone that's involved.
There's few things that are greater to me. I think hearing a kid laugh is one of the greatest sounds you'll ever hear.
Right.
But seeing a kid when they catch their first fish or something, it's just one of the best seeing. It's one of the best feelings. That is very similar to a lot of the experiences they will have getting out there. The first time they see a wild animal or something like that, to give these kids that opportunity, it's not just great and gives them maybe more empathy to other industries. I'm a city boy, but when I first moved up here, my nan and papa had me spend a morning on a farm. And ever since then, I've had an empathy and understanding of that industry a little bit better, a little bit more. That got me young with that. I think you're doing a lot of that in this too. Maybe not every kid goes on to work in nature or have a nature hobby, but they have a little more empathy, a little more understanding of that world. So when there's maybe a bill that comes up and you're voting on it or any kind of wild amount of things that could go on as adults, you have a little more empathy for that stuff. You have a little more understanding of it. I think there's that part of this too that's really key that helps out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. So
one of the other things that I think that is fun about this, too, is not just giving kids an opportunity to maybe they wouldn't have otherwise, but certainly the kids that do these activities and giving them other, you know, ways of enjoying these things. Maybe they already hunt and they've already learned some of that, or they know fishing or some of the other activities, giving them an opportunity to see that there's even more, not just those things. Because while I focus on that stuff a lot, there are scouting has got so many different layers to it. There's almost no skill set that your kid is not going to improve on from being a part of scouting.
Well, even as an adult leader, though, too. I mean, you actually are learning right along with the scouts, because, I mean, back when I first started, I had no idea how to use a Dutch oven.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned how to cook on a Dutch oven. Now I love you doing that. You know, I cooked over a campfire with a tripod, you know, growing up with my parents and everything like that, but A lot of this is, you know, not only learning for the youth, it's learning for the adults too, right along with it. So
something to keep in mind. A little bit later, we're going to be looking for volunteers, looking for people to be involved with scouting and everything. So you adults out there, keep listening, keep that in mind. I did want to touch on some events that you guys got coming up. You have something really fun on the way.
You want to do the Mid-State one?
Yeah. Yeah.
So January 18th, we have a Mid-State event for a merit badge college, and this is where we're going to be offering a bunch of different merit badges for our youth that involve technology, welding.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I imagine there's
so,
a lot.
Crime prevention, firefighter. Fire safety.
Wow, those are good ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, they're letting us kind of take advantage of the situation. We have some instructors that are helping us out with that, along with our merit badge counselor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're we're trying to, you know, get a partnership with Mid-State because it's a great resource out there. To do that, and looking for more resources too to work with these guys.
Keep that in mind. Any of you businesses out there, any of you organizations out there, a great way to not only excel your organization, nonprofit, school, whatever it might be, but also to be showing how good you, how much you might be finding people that will be working in your industry from scouting eventually. That's important note. And Sam, I was with you on trying to come up with the names for badges because there's so many of them, and I'm just real quick, I'm a little curious about this, and I've talked to you a little bit about it before, Kev, too, and everything. The how much that has evolved as well. Like, there were the badges that were around when, you know, you and I were kids in Kevin, but now there's even more. That has also evolved to modern times.
Yeah, I mean, one of the merit badges that we were trying to get with Mid-State, but it just wouldn't work out, is called Animal Science. Mm. And because they have a great program over in the Marshfield area, with their agriculture under it, that would have been a really cool one to get going. But it just didn't work out. But yeah, we're always evolving. Like I said, with the technology, digital technology, they have that's kind of been new within the last probably 10, 15 years, and that's a really cool one to have.
Yeah, they, you know, there's if your kid enjoys a certain subject or if they really excel at a certain subject, there's probably a badge for it. There's just so many of them out there. And while it's great to give so much, I believe, as adults, our job is to build up kids. Yeah. To genuinely build up kids. I don't mean everybody gets a trophy day. I don't mean that. I mean, like, genuinely building them up and giving them opportunities to learn and grow and show that it's okay to fail. Just keep getting up. A lot of those things. Scouting is that 101. Like, it really embodies that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. We don't, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. But us as leaders, you know, we kind of use it as a teaching moment. And then hopefully they can they continue on. I mean, a lot of the skills that they do is life skills. Damn. And it goes that way.
One of the things that I talk about a lot with almost every guest I have in when it comes to Midday Magazine here is how much we just never know what spark might get started in a kid, and how they're taking a class or they're trying to get a badge in Knots or something, and that leads them to want to go into the Navy. You know, who knows? Right. But there's so many different things that these things can spring off in a kid's brain, and they just go and take this is their path. This is where they go. The advantages of having your kid involved in scouting are just, I don't think we have enough time to count all of them. I don't really know.
That could be the whole hour.
Speaking with Kevin, Sam, and Sam from Scouting America right now, and this event at Mid-State, what are the time and dates again for it?
So it's January 18th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we can sign up through the calendar for the Samoset Council.
Okay. You are fine, Sam. You are killing it. You're doing an amazing job. And the website, samoset.org, is the website. That is SAMOSET.org, samoset.org. You throw it into your search engine, pops right up. Sure did for me.
Yeah.
And a great resource and a great place to find some of the information that you might, what we're talking about here today. I also wanted to talk about how kids can get involved in this, how parents can get involved in Scouting America. That is a big part of not only what we do here, but what we're trying to do going forward. Got a good turnout, got good kids involved in it right now, but we want to keep that going and everything. One of the things that I think is unique that I didn't know about scouting until my sister was in Brownie, and she got involved with Girl Scouts and everything, and I didn't realize how involved my mother would be in it and how she just really enjoyed it and got really into it, because she never got to do that kind of thing either as a kid. So to parents out there, I don't never think it's necessarily a great thing for a parent to live vicariously through their kid. That can get a little muddy. This is one of those okay situations. I embrace that, actually. I think it's very cool for the parent, the kid, to get involved with this stuff, especially if you as a parent, when you were a kid, you didn't get to do these things.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've talked about now, and everybody thought it was the Boy Scouts of America, and they are rebranding, I think the official time it's going to be officially branded, it's going to be the first part of February, and it's going to be called Scouting America. But everybody's kind of starting to get used to saying it now.
Yeah.
And I've been to when we started doing our recruiting during the open houses at the beginning of the school year, everybody's like, well, I thought scouting was just for boys. Mm-hmm. And that's why they are rebranding and calling Scouting America. It is going to be, it's for both boys and girls from the eight, from kindergarten right up to the age of 18 when you're, and, but then scouting doesn't stop at the age of 18. We have venture crews. So, and that goes until you're 21. And, so you, if you want to get involved in scouting, if you've kind of on the fence, go to the Stemmoset Council website and hit join scouting. And what it will do, once you get into that, it'll get you linked up to your school district and what schools are what units are involved with each school kind of in their districts. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there. You don't have to be with that unit, but if, I mean, we'll just try to get you in that contact with that leader.
You set me up perfectly, man, because one of the main things I wanted to get to with you guys today is talking about this change and this evolution. I've talked about, you know, the changing and the evolution of this thing. We've actually talked about this with a lot of organizations. To me, it's nothing about saying how things were done. It is what it is, and that's cool how they did things now. But as again, time only moves one direction, we have to evolve with things. And just speaking for myself, I would much rather having a Scouting America than nothing. And that's something that could happen if we did keep things kind of the status quo and the way they were. By doing this, it's a rising tide raises all boats kind of situation where all Girl Scouts, Brownies, Boy Scouts, all of these organizations coming together and really giving kids an opportunity. Not about the sex, not about any of that, but about the kids having a chance to do this. I also think one of the cool things that can happen with this, and I imagine has already been happening with this, is the empathy of boys and girls and having more understanding of each other and more empathy for each other. We kind of separated them for a long. Do you notice this? For our generations growing up and everything, we had a lot of things that separated us, whether it was sex ed or whatever. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to the school dance, you wonder why the kids aren't going next to each other and talking and everything. Right. Of course they weren't. We were scared of each other. Right. You know, this maybe, you know, having stuff like this growing up and everything with more and more of this, we have kids that aren't afraid of each other. Some of that. Right. And I say that jokingly, but in all seriousness, I think that there is something that's so key to that going forward. I talk a lot about domestic violence on the air and how important it is for understanding of that. Young kids, young boys growing up in doing classes and doing things with young girls, it only creates a better empathy, a better understanding of that. I'm not saying it cures it, but boy, does it help. There are so many layers to what Scouting America can do and is doing right now. And opening up for everybody and having everybody just come on in, that just creates such a better society going forward, I think, for our kids.
And I would, you know, you kind of set me up a little bit too, because there are some new training coming up with some of us adult leaders is that obviously mental health.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to come up with a program to train the leaders to recognize that stuff. And then, you know, there you go. They're evolving. They're trying to make sure that we're on top of things too. And when we're spending so much time with the youth that if we see something, we're going to be able to, you know, you recognize it and move forward on it.
Yeah, none of us are got our head in the sand. We all know the world that we're in right now and how things can be. So it's all the more reason for not only organizations like this, but to get involved in organizations like this out there to all you adults. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people might be listening and thinking, well, my kids are older or like, you know, or something, and maybe I wouldn't be involved in this. Well, we're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for good adults in the community.
We are looking for, you know, different areas for behind the scenes type people that would be willing to step up. Even if you've been a scouter in the past, I mean, we could always use the help as a commissioner role or involved in our district committees and things like that. So, I mean, if you're interested, I mean, just reach out on the website. We'll get you to the right person.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than the feeling of being a role model for youth and young adults. And involving yourself in this program, you get to help with those little tiny niches that people are really good at, and also just getting to see pure joy. With every meeting and every event that we host, this is the moment that kids are going to have memories about. and you get to be a part of that. Hmm.
Very well said. Yeah. Oh, that's a great. That hit me. That's a good moment right there. I wanted also to just really quickly before we wrap up and everything, we're doing our show, of course, here in Central Wisconsin and Wisconsin Rapids. To people listening outside of the area, who is exactly in this particular part of this? Is there anybody that can or can't be involved in Scouting America in Central Wisconsin? Here, is it certain counties, certain areas, or all come, all welcome?
So on our scouting website, you can look up by your area code what district you are in. So that's kind of similar to counties, but a district covers multiple counties. And then that's all within a certain council. So ours is the Samoset Council, and we cover from Nakusa all the way up to Rylander.
Actually, we're actually in, they got that one area in Duluth now that because of a council that was in Minnesota that actually had to disband. So we picked up... We did pick up those units up in like the Duluth area, but yeah, I mean
that is pretty cool actually. Yeah, pretty neat. Yeah. You know, again, kids getting to talk to other kids from other counties or even another state or anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's only going to create more and more knowledge and more sharing of that and just an understanding of those things too. That's really cool actually.
Well, I remember my oldest son, which is Sam's fiance, but, so there is a connection how we got her involved with the area. But anyways, he went to a leadership training. When he was in, it's called NYLT, National Youth Leader Training, he actually met some pretty cool guys from like the Green Bay area that I know for a while there he was in contact with them, but I mean, cool. Throughout the time in the summertime when they're up to summer camp, there's kids from all over. There's some scouts, some units from Illinois that are up there because Camp de Somas is one of the top camps in the state, in the country. And so, we do get some units from Minnesota, some from Michigan, so they do travel to our area and go into the camp too.
And well, I think it's really cool to hear about the Minnesota organization being involved with ours and what that can create. I also want to use that as a bellwether in some ways of, we don't want that to happen to our area. We don't want to lose our organization, our spot here. So that's why we need you guys out there. We need volunteers. We need adults, need kids to be involved with this organization. If people want to volunteer, if there is adults out there listening that would love to be a part of these things, send them to the website. Is that the quickest way to get them involved?
Yeah, I think it is because then they can do the contact us and then they'll give our my number or Sam's number and we'll get them involved.
That works. Now, see, I appreciate you sharing a little bit of that tie-in for Sam because I thought it was Sam and Samoset and you just kind of sure, perfect. This is really dumb. You guys were great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to hanging out again and talking real soon as other events and other things come up. We'll have you guys on a regular basis and everything. And Sam, nice work. Nice job today. Nicely done.
Appreciate it.
Always good to see you, Kev. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Thanks, James.
And if you want to find out more and be a part of things, go ahead and go to samoset.org. That is SAMOSET.org. Throw it into your search bar. Should be able to find it real easy. SAMOSET.org. Well, a more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swift for Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Protecting your personal information and finances from fraudsters gets harder each year. The BBB has some suggestions to help you avoid fraud. Lisa Hale has more.
Starting the new year with a new awareness of scammers and their methods can help you have a fraud-free year in 2025. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau has collected a group of resolutions to help you stay fraud-free. Resolve to be cautious with email. Be wary of any unsolicited emails. Resolve to never send money to strangers. Research before making online payments and purchases. Resolve to never share personal information with a stranger. Resolve to create strong, unique passwords for each account that you have. And resolve to be social media smart. Finally, check your financial statements regularly and educate yourself on the latest scams.
High school football coaches in Wisconsin are pitching a plan to change how the postseason works here. With more, here's Civic Media's sports director, Jimmy Kuska.
A proposal to change how Wisconsin high school football teams qualify for the playoffs and are organized by division has overwhelming support from coaches. The Wisconsin Football Coaches Association says of the 400 head coaches responding to a survey, 350 of them, or 87.5%, support the WFCA's proposal, which would eliminate computer algorithms from the playoff process. This year, the WIAA admitted it made mistakes in setting the playoff field, leaving out Madison West and Greenfield. Now the plan goes to committee and could be up for a vote as soon as February for implementation as soon as the fall of 2025. According to WIAA data, there are approximately 425 high school football programs in Wisconsin, of which 240 make the playoffs.
The next step is a coaches advisory committee meeting on January 7th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And welcoming into the studio, our good friend, Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension Wood County. Anna, it is good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, James.
I got to get that title down quicker because we take up half the hour.
It's a mouthful.
It really is. But we appreciate our friends over Extension and working with you guys. Had a great 2024. We're going to have a great 2025. Yes. Love having you guys in studio and working with you guys, and especially when we can talk about topics that not only do you guys know your stuff about, but are so timely. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that right now as we get into winter salt awareness and diving into this, Anna.
Yeah, so 'tis the season for salting our roads, our sidewalks. We rely on salt for a ton of things, not just in the winter, right? We use water softeners in our home year-round. We're using salt, but it's very prevalent right now with snow and ice, etc. So in Wisconsin and much of the United States, the chloride from the salt is infiltrating our lakes, rivers, streams, kind of all of the water sources. So there's this kind of adverse effect of something that we rely on so heavily here in Wisconsin. And just a quick fact that I thought was really interesting, it only takes one teaspoon of salt to pollute 5 gallons of water to a level that is toxic to our freshwater ecosystems.
I think of all the stats my father has heard, this is the one that has stayed with him. And not just of our UW guests, but all the guests we've had on.
Yeah.
And I noticed him changing how he does things
Oh, that's so cool.
That and animals.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things that made my dad really like shift. And instead of just grabbing that, you know, little cup of salt
yep.
and just tossing it around
yep.
like he usually did, being very almost specific with where he's putting it and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And how often, you know, you have like this old cup that you picked up from a wedding or something, or old coffee mug, and that's what you use to spread salt. And we don't realize that there is certain rules to go off of on how to salt.
And I think that one of the things that I just personally, I think that I like to note with this stuff is it's not necessarily anybody, nobody's talking down to anybody or saying, hey, you should have been doing this all along anything. No. So many things that we learn as we go along and we're just adapting and evolving and making them better, not just for our environment, but for each other.
Right.
And affordability. You know, salt ain't cheap.
Nope.
Being more specific with it is only going to make it last longer.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, there's a lot of reasons for this.
Exactly. Yep.
I think one of the big questions, while we may think we have a lot of assumptions of where all the salt comes from, I think getting more specific about it is helpful. So, Anna, where does the salt come from?
Yeah, so one of the most common ways that salt enters our water is from winter salt use, right, on our roads, on our parking lots, and on our sidewalks. Chloride concentration levels peak in the winter and spring, right, from spring runoff when all of that snow is melting, and it's not just the snow melting and running into our water, it's taking everything on our roads, on our sidewalks, on our driveways with it, right? And that includes all of the leftover salt that we have. So road salt has been used as a de-icer in Wisconsin since the late 1950s because it's cheap and it gets the job done, right? But unfortunately, the salt that we put down doesn't just go away, right? We put it down, we think it dissolves, and sometimes it does, right? But there's after effects in that spring runoff.
I think one of the things that helped me with this topic and understanding this was understanding that even the air out there, it can bring things with it. It can carry things with it. That's air. Like, so if air can do that, pretty much physical things in our environment, in our society are going to certainly do that. And again, this is one of those things where we've been doing it for so long a certain way. People may, you know, wonder why we're doing it this way. Why do we care about this so much, Anna?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of hidden costs to oversalting, and I think that's a good thing to focus on, right, when we think about why we care. So there's hidden costs, and we're also making our water more salty. So once the salt's in the environment, like I said, it doesn't just go away. Naturally occurring concentrations of chloride are less than 1 milligram per liter throughout most of Wisconsin, but our surface water and groundwater and the soil even have been absorbing virtually all of that excess chloride concentrations, and it's increased the levels tremendously. And then we think about weakened infrastructure too. That's not something that gets talked about a lot when we think about the effects of salt. But salt weakens the concrete, brick, and stone that make up our homes, garages, bridges, and roads. So 1 ton of rock salt causes between $800 and $3,300 of damages to buildings, bridges, and other infrastructure.
And we spent $5 billion annually repairing these things, I see. So just a pause for a second here on this note right there, because we just got done in the last 4 years putting a ton of money into our infrastructure. Almost every community in this country has better roads now than they did 4 years ago. Almost every state has better highways than they did 4 years ago. I know it's not the most sexy topic, but I will hit on this as much as I can because it's pretty cool. It's pretty wild that this has happened. We want to keep these things nice.
Right.
We want to keep the, and we don't want to have to in another 4 or 40 years or whatever have to worry about this stuff. We can put our focus on other things if we're taking care of our roads and our infrastructure. People have seen the scariness of you know, what happened in Minnesota with a bridge collapsing, and in Philadelphia and what happened there. These things don't happen just because of the wind. You know, it's
gradual.
It's gradual. It takes time, and this stuff it adds up.
So it does.
That's a really strong note to mention, not only because of the investment we've made in the last 4 years in these things, but the investments we'd like to make going forward.
Right. And just the saving of it for future generations, right?
We you and I and others from UW, we've talked about this many times. We don't plant trees so we get to see them grow. We plant them for next generations to get to see them grow. This is a very similar thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I mentioned pets earlier because it was a big one for my dad. he cares so much about his dogs and stuff. And pets are, pet health is another reason for this.
It is, yeah. So road and sidewalk salt can irritate your pet's toes, feet and skin. So on the back of a lot of bags of salt, there will be warnings about what is and what isn't safe for your pet. So if you do have pets at home, make sure that you're really watching the kind of salt that you buy, because some can be, I don't want to say toxic, but very irritating to your pets. And problems can also arise if your pet licks the salt or licks their paws after they're out on a walk. That can cause adverse side effects to your pet's health, right?
Yeah, so those paws are really sensitive.
Yeah.
And we talk about this during this summer a lot, and black tops and a lot of those things and how that can be on their feet. It's no different in the winter when it comes to salt or how cold that can be and what that feels like on there. There's no fur usually on those paws. that can get pretty dangerous for them. The licking of it can not only be harmful to them, but can also lead to, you know, vet bills and going to the vet. Which is another thing that's going to cost you and everything.
Yep.
Being smart with this stuff is only going to help you and your furry friend.
Yeah, right. And then we talk about, you know, our pets at home, but we also have wildlife and other plants to think about too, you know, our natural ecosystem, which can affect salt salt can affect those ecosystems as well. So salt can actually stress plants and animals that have adapted to freshwater ecosystems. Mm-hmm. So, we had said salt that runs into our lakes, rivers, or streams increases the chloride level. Well, those fish or the amphibians, whatever it may be, they can't even adjust fast enough to those increased levels of chloride in the ecosystem. So that's a huge effect. So for example, spotted salamanders and wood frogs are two amphibians that are rarely found once pond chloride concentrations exceed 200 milligrams per liter. And that's because frogs and amphibians, a lot of them breathe through their skin. And so how are they supposed to, with this chloride building up in their ecosystem, how are they supposed to breathe or how are they supposed to live and thrive?
You know, and I don't think I'm giving any new information here that this is all part of a food chain.
Yes.
All these animals, all these things we're talking about. And whether you care about amphibians or not, I imagine that you care about deer. You care about certain other animals that whether it's for hunting or just enjoying them in the world and everything.
Right.
Well, if one goes away, that affects the whole chain.
Yes, it does.
And so much of our state is built on the environment.
Yes. Yep. Outdoor recreation.
Yeah. Yep. Talking about that, talking about hunting, fishing, any of these things. So as you lose a link in that chain, the whole chain gets affected.
That's so true.
Which affects your bottom line, which affects your dollar. And I mean, if you think that the North was hurt by not having enough snow, imagine them not having enough animals. And while it's not far-fetched, this is not science fiction here or anything. This is science.
Yeah.
This is the way this works.
Yeah.
You want to protect your state. You want to keep your state beautiful. You want to keep people coming to your state.
Right.
The people in this state enjoying things.
Yeah.
All of this adds up. All of this ties together.
Yep. And you know, one of the huge touristy, or not touristy, but like, intrigue of coming to Wisconsin is fishing too. Mm-hmm. There was actually an interesting study that I found by Bill Hintz out of the University of Toledo. It showed that rainbow trout in habitat areas with high salt concentrations can experience a decreased rate of growth. Mm. Well, trout fishing in Wisconsin, that a lot of people come here to do that, you know? So that's another avenue that we have to consider is our trout streams and those more delicate ecosystems too.
These are the things that we want you to keep in mind when you're salting your driveway, when you're doing these things.
Yes.
Have this stuff in your mind with that. It all adds up. And that salt that you're putting on your driveway could be affecting the whole state.
Yes.
It really can.
Yep.
And it's something that we want to keep this state beautiful. We want to keep it profitable and everything.
Yes.
That's where all of this is coming from.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about a lot of things for people, I think, to keep an eye out for and hopefully to adjust and maybe adapt to a different way of doing things.
Right.
But I imagine there's other people that maybe they were doing those things and they're wondering how they can help, what they can do.
Yeah. So there's a couple of really good ways that you can help when it comes to decreasing the salt in our environment. So there's some smart salting techniques that you can do in the winter. So one of the, I think, maybe a little bit more obvious things is to shovel, right? Nobody likes to do it, shovel or snowblow, right?
Yeah.
So clearing your sidewalks and other areas before the snow turns into ice is a really effective way to not have to use as much salt, right? Mm-hmm. So the more snow you remove manually, the less salt you will have to put down and the more effective your methods will be, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you're scattering salt, if you use salt, scatter it where there's places where there's space in between the grains. You don't need, you know, the salt particles to be right next to each other. I know we think that that has more of an effect, but it actually doesn't. So believe it or not, a coffee mug of salt is enough to treat an entire 20-foot driveway or 10 sidewalk squares.
That's incredible.
I know. Yeah. I know.
And look, you know, if anything else, think about the fact that you're saving money on this stuff, too. You're not wasting a bunch of salt and everything.
Right.
So that's another part of that.
Exactly. Exactly. And then if you can, switch. So when the pavement temperature drops below 15 degrees, salt actually will not work. Right. So when that happens, you can switch to sand for more traction. It's different ice melter and it works in lower temperature. It gives you that traction. And it's cheap.
Yeah.
Sand is cheap.
Again, a great cost saver. That's fantastic. Any taxpayer out there, happy to hear that.
You're right.
I think along those lines, too, you're seeing a lot more areas using salt more and incorporating that more instead of sending the trucks out there to salt the roads when it's they're paying attention to the temperatures. They're paying and okay, we can send the sand out there. Or a lot you're seeing, I'm seeing this a lot more and in other communities, not just in this state, but in other Midwest states. You're seeing a lot more of the sand bins by the the edge of the walkway or something like that.
Yep, I do see those quite often.
And there's other ways that you can do this too.
So say you hire a contractor or somebody to do this for you, you can actually choose to get a certified contractor. So if you hire someone, ask if they're certified through the Winter Salt Certification Program. Mm-hmm. There's actually a program that contractors can go through to learn about how to wisely apply salt. And if not, maybe you if they're not certified, maybe encourage them to be certified, right? So if you have somebody and you don't know if they're certified, just ask. If they're not, encourage them to go to Winter Salt Certification Program.
It's another, maybe another revenue builder for people out there and businesses out there as well, to be able to have that or highlight that as your business as more and more people are going along these lines. Because this is something that Anna and I are talking about that is a trend that has been going on for years in our country as far as people pulling away from salt more and more and not using it, just using it smarter.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm not saying don't use salt at all, but just make sure that you're educating yourself on how to use it properly, right?
I think that a lot of us, too, have seen over the years that excess salt, that salt that's just kind of sitting there left over, it clumps up and everything. It just it just sits there and taunts you.
right.
That there's doing something with that as well.
Yeah, so if you have excess salt, you can actually sweep up the leftover salt so it reduces the damage to your concrete and protects your local waterways, right? Some communities even have a sweep the salt campaign, and others have a salt recycling program. Mm-hmm. So that would be interesting. I'm not sure if we have that here in Wisconsin Rapids, but it would be really interesting if that's something you're looking to pursue.
I know my community. I know we love to compete with each other every once in a while and everything. I think that whole salt campaign, I think that's a great
idea.
Would
be sweet
I think
salt.
That'd be a lot of fun. That's good. That's a great one. And certainly getting involved.
Yes. Yeah. Get involved. I mean, get involved, educate yourself on this topic. Wisconsin has a great program for chloride monitoring. So that's the excess salt monitoring that is supported by the Isaac Walton League. And it's called the Salt Watch Program. So if you live by a stream or you have a stream that you frequent and you want to understand, you know, what excess road salt is doing, you can sign up for this program through the Isaac Walton League. They'll send you packets so you can go to your stream and sample the water, send the test back to them, and then they'll let you know what the chloride levels are. And they're monitoring this to see if there's any increase in chloride levels throughout the years. It's really interesting. It's a really interesting citizen science program. I know we talked about that a couple of months ago, right? So just another avenue to get involved.
It's I think this first out, you hit it on the head. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's I think that part alone is going to get people to really be curious and look into this a little bit more. But the idea also of people being able to, I think, impact their community more, their neck of the woods more, their street, you know, and building off of that, and more of that happening.
Right.
I think there's that part of it that is really important to keep in mind, that you can make this impact. And, you know, I especially the topic of PFAS has been so big for the last couple of years.
Yep.
And I see so many people that care about that subject and just as many people that get tuned out because it just seems like such a big topic.
Right.
How do you clean water? How do you, you know, any of these things? But it could not be more opposite that to me.
Yeah.
This is something that every one of us, no matter who you are listening, no matter where you are listening, we can make an impact on this.
Right. And sometimes it can feel like an information overload, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Like what James and I are talking about might feel like an information overload to listeners. And that's OK.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to it again. And there's this really great resource. If you're like, I want to be part of the solution, but I don't know how, I can take the steps to reduce my salt use. Right. But here's another way that you can get involved in monitoring local ecosystems and seeing the impact of the changes you're making, right? Mm-hmm. And that's cool. You can actually see, oh, well, the stream that I have by my house, it started at such and such level of chloride. We've switched to using smart salting techniques, and now I've seen a decrease in that chloride concentration. Right. So it's cool. You can see
it. Really is. It's really cool. And it's also something we want to keep in mind to any maintenance professionals out there, too, how you can improve your work.
Yeah. So if you're a maintenance professional, like you're working in a municipality or you have your own business, you can consider taking classes, like we had said, to become certified through the Wisconsin SaltWise program. These classes promote best management practices like staff education, equipment calibration, and other incorporations of liquid brine. So other ways that we can, you know, decrease the effects of ice and snow on our roads. Mm-hmm. There's an actual program for this. That's a partnership between a bunch of different entities like DNR, UW Extension, et cetera. They have a whole educator that comes to you and teaches you about SaltWise techniques. You know, it's really interesting.
And not only, I think it's fascinating. I think it really is. But it's also something that is not only going to be cool to learn, but also help you financially.
Yes, yes.
As we've been trying, and in our environment, it's a win-win-win kind of situation.
Yes, yep. So just to talk about a little bit of the financial benefits, I guess, of these programs. So Jefferson County has become a statewide leader in salt reduction. Their efforts, so they took the certification class, right? Their efforts helped the county cut salt use by nearly 9 million pounds.
9 million pounds.
9 million pounds.
Letting that sit there for a second. Yeah, that's incredible. Right. That's incredible.
9 millions of pounds, that saved the taxpayers $500,000.
Oh, man. And that's Jefferson. That's a community that could, I don't want to say use it, but any community could use it. Now, recently here in Wisconsin Rapids, in Wood County, there's been a lot of talk about budget cutting, a lot of concern about those things. I'd like to see just as much concern on this.
Right.
I'd like to see all.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe the one-year anniversary of Matinair on air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. New Orleans is getting back on its feet after yesterday's deadly truck attack. Bourbon Street is reopened and the Sugar Bowl is underway at the Superdome. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry.
Today, we're going to have us a sugar bowl. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to keep those who have lost loved ones in mind.
The FBI's Christopher Reyes says the attacker, Shamsuddin Jabbar, acted alone.
Three phones linked to Jabbar have been recovered, and digital media exploitation is a priority.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grandma, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
Be real.